Bobby, we'd like to hear about your husband, Morris. We knew he was very active in the community.
Well, he was, indeed, he was, and was a very religious and very philanthropically minded and had a real Jewish heart, as they said. I think I would like to quote from an introduction that Dr. Freehouse gave at the annual meeting, March 22, 1970. This was a meeting in honor of the trustees at that time, and of which Morris, of course, was one, had been one for 25 years or more. Dr. Freehouse mentioned the others, and this is what he said about Morris. Morris, you are something special, and something very special to me. As a member of the board, Morris Balder was the one blessed with a traditional education. When he would come into the office and see one of those big folios open, he would not feel that it was just an amiable eccentricity of mine. He would understand what it was all about. So he really was a bond between the historic Jewry and our advanced and modern Jewry. What is more, he worked in the charities, and he was a bond between the total community and us. All the labor that he did on the board these years was done because he understood that whatever organization exists in the community, the synagogue is a dynamo where the electricity is created. So, Morris, you really represent total Judaism to me. May you represent it for a long time. That was what Dr. Freehoff said about Morris Balder at this particular meeting.
Morris was born in Pittsburgh, was he not?
Yes.
Do you know where he was born, where he lived?
I don't know the street. I know it was in the Hill District. And then they moved to East End on Stratford Avenue. And that's when I knew him, when he lived on Stratford Avenue.
What year was he born, Bobby?
1896.
Bobby, was Morris educated in Pittsburgh schools?
Yes, he went to the Central High School, I believe, and he was always worked very hard. He worked in the day and got his went to Pitt at night school at Pitt.
He was in business with his father.
He was in business with his father, and then he went in business for himself after, shortly after we were married.
I'd like to hear how that business evolved.
As a meat business and went on to...
Oh, yes. Paper. Well, his father was in the meat business, and Morris was a very young boy. I don't think he was more than 12 or 13, 14 years old. And he bought the paper that they used for the wrapping. And he had he was a very brilliant man, had a great business sense, and he always bought much more than they really needed. And he would sell the paper. Before they knew it, they had a basement full of paper. And he would sell the paper to the other merchants on the street. And it turned out, after a short time, they were making more money selling the paper than selling meat. So that's how they started the paper business, which was called the Morris Paper Company. Later, my husband went into business for himself, and at first he was going to call it the Morris Balder Paper Company, but at advice of a very good friend who said, that'll be very confusing, so he left the Balder out. There was a Balder Paper Company, and his was called the Morris Paper Company.
Imagine you worked very hard in those years.
He worked very, very hard. He worked 7 days a week. There was no Saturdays off, not even Sundays. Sundays he worked the Hill District, where the stores were all open on Sunday. He did work very hard.
In other words, he went around selling the
paper
to merchants.
Yes. This was when he was with his father, when he was in himself, for himself. He still worked very hard. He served later in the National Office of the Price Administration, the Committee for the Paper Industry. And there's a big incorporation called the Tested Papers of America. He was a member and founder of the Tested Papers of America. This was when he was for himself.
Bobby, then he became interested in civic and religious things.
Yes, he was a very religious. He had a very, a real Jewish heart. And he believed in anything that would help the Jewish people. But also, he was also interested in civic things. But he had a real feeling for doing for others.
Did he belong to Rodef Scholem in those days?
Yes, not in those days. When we joined Rodef Scholem when my son was about 5 years old. And
was Rabbi Freehoff the rabbi then?
No, Rabbi Goldenson.
It was Goldenson.
Yeah.
And he certainly had a great love for that temple.
Yes, particularly when Dr. Freehoff came.
Well, now, what were some of the activities that I know he did so much in the community.
Well, he was president of the Jewish Family and Children's Service. He was president of the Hebrew Free Loan Association. He was president of the Jewish Social Service Bureau. This might be interesting. When he was president of the Jewish Social Service Bureau, I was president of Sisterhood, and his sister, Mrs. Silberstein, was president of council. We were three presidents.
He ran the city.
He was a life trustee of the American Jewish Committee. He was a life trustee of the Jewish Home for the Aged. And he worked and had many offices in the Federation of Jewish Charities, and was a life trustee in the Federation of Jewish Charities. But his real love was the Rodef Scholem Temple. He was a member of the board of trustees of Rodef Scholem Congregation for 25 years. He was a treasurer and a vice president. He was on the board of the Pennsylvania Council of the American Hebrew Congregations. He was on the national board, member of the national board of the Union of American Hebrew Congregations. And he was also on the board of the World Union for Progressive Judaism. Remember, we traveled on our trip to Africa. We met all the people. They were very much interested in what they were doing. And through Dr. Freehoff, we met the Jewish people in Africa and the places we traveled around the world who were temple-minded. And I remember in Africa particularly, they would have groups of people. They were so thrilled to have an American that knew about these things. Mm-hmm. And their main interest was how we handled conversion. They were very much interested in that. And
I remember that when you traveled abroad, and you traveled a great deal, you always looked up all the synagogues in every country.
Yes.
Where they were. Would you tell us a little about that?
Every synagogue, every country. We traveled around the world. We were one around the world twice. And even in Ethiopia, in I didn't always go with them because I didn't have the energy anymore.
I didn't have the stamina.
But we went everywhere. The first thing he did was find out where the synagogue, and he went to the service. We were at the Seder in Nairobi, and it was very interesting to me. It was the same kind of Seder, that the same traditional food. People came from all over in the small towns. I mean, there was the gefilte fish and the chicken soup and the matzo balls. It was the same traditional food in Nairobi as... we also went to a Seder in Japan, which was very interesting. And there were a good many, mostly were Americans, but there were several Japanese that had turned Jewish. And they were very, very strict about following every word, and they took it all very, very seriously.
And I know you went to Russia before. Most Americans went there.
Yes, and we...
Remember what year that was?
That was 8 years ago. It was our last trip. And we found that was before, I don't think right now we would have taken, but that was before there was this great feeling. I mean, things weren't quite as bad with the Russians and the Jewish people as always been bad, but it wasn't so prominent, and so they weren't so outspoken about it. And we enjoyed that trip very much, because we found that, which I think is very interesting, we learned that only 5% of the people of Russia belong to the party. They can't help what's going on in the government. The people we found on the street were very kind and liked Americans very much. They're very helpful. If you asked them a direction, they wouldn't point or say. They would take you where you were wanted to go. And we had no regrets. Many people said, how could you go to Russia? Well, I'm very grateful for that trip. As I said, today I doubt whether we would have taken it. In those days, things weren't quite to the point that they are now with the feeling
of
the Americans.
Did you find synagogues there, too?
Oh, yes, yes. I must... we went to the synagogue there, and they were very, very careful. In the synagogue, they wouldn't say a word about anything, the government or anything. My husband tried to feel them out. And you weren't allowed to bring a prayer book or anything in. That was bad. But they did have a synagogue, and the people were out on the street, but they did talk, and a few talked to him how the circumstances were and how badly they need prayer books. They wanted prayer books so badly. We tried to get some into them, but it was really impossible.
What I mean, city?
This was in Moscow and Leningrad, both.
Did they actually conduct services?
Yes, there were conducted services. There was a rabbi, and Morris spoke to him. In fact, he went twice. The second time he was the time that he really had more conversation with them and got more information from them. But they have to be, they did even at that time have to be very careful that they never know. But we enjoyed that trip very much.
There were very few countries you didn't go to. And
yes.
Wherever you were, there were synagogues.
We went to synagogue, and it's the first thing we did was go to the synagogue. We found out some of them were very primitive, and but very, very enjoyable. I didn't go to all of them, I must admit, but he didn't miss any.
Was he welcomed in the various countries?
Oh, yes, yes,
to feel
yes,
welcome.
Yes. And when we traveled for the World Union, he was on the board. We were on our own. I mean, we paid our own expenses, of course. But he came, he told them, and Dr. Freehoff had written ahead that he was representing the World Union. And they were so eager to know about things in America and how we conducted services. And it was almost to a point that it was pathetic how eager they were to hear. Even in Russia, they wanted to know. And my husband was very knowledgeable and could give them a very good explanation of how things were going. And he was, and my husband did a great many things that no one knew about. For instance, I would get thank you letters from his little organizations, and I'd say, what is that? He says, oh, he says, you know, he says, those black-bearded Santa Clauses come around. He says, I just can't refuse them. There are these,
Hasidim.
Hasidim. He says, there isn't a month goes by that some, but he never, never refused any of them. And then we'd get letters, that's the only way I knew that he had given it. But he was a very great man, I think.
Bobby, did Morris find much anti-Semitism in your European trips?
Well, we didn't find much. Most people don't agree with us, but I will say the one place we did find anti-Semitism, which I forgot to mention before, was in South America. We found in Rio, we waited for a taxi, and they'd pull up, and if they think we were Jewish or... anti-Americanism. I beg your pardon. I was not anti-Jewish. I'm sorry. It was anti-American. That's where we found it, in South America. There was a great deal of talk about anti-Americanism in other countries. We did not find it. We did find it in South America. I waited in a shoe store for an hour before anybody would wait on me when they see you're American. The taxi driver would pull up. Now, many people do not agree with this, but we went through it, and I know existed when we were there. That was the only country we found that the Americans were not welcome.
He communicated so well with people, you said, on your European trips.
Well, my husband did not, though he was a very brilliant man, he did not speak, as many Americans are not taught any other language but American. But English. He did not speak any other language but English, and he did know Jewish. And it is really true that he said that his Jewish got him all through the world. And it was remarkable how he would just seem to find someone or pick out the ones that did understand him. And he would often joke with me and said, I was supposed to know a good bit about French. He said, even in France, and his Jewish at the flea market got him further than my French did. And I was just amazed, I might mention that in our travels, how knowledgeable he was about every place in the remotest country, even in a forsaken place like Bali or Ethiopia. He knew, and it wasn't that he read up before we left. He never read a thing about a trip. He had a great mind, and through the years he read a great deal. Much of his education was, he was self-educated, because he worked very hard during the day and he got his education at night, just an hour or so. It wasn't really a full college course. He went to Pitt Night School when he could, but he read constantly, and he always read the Bible. Whatever he read, he finished up with the Bible. We never went a trip, even overnight, to New York, but he took the Bible with him. He really had a real, real religious, real Jewish heart. And as I said, I have never stopped being amazed at the knowledge he had of every country that we were. He knew the history, the background, and I was greatly benefited by that knowledge. I did not have it.
Bobby, since you are so active in the community life of the city, and Morris certainly was, has this been an influence on Jimmy, your son?
I think it has. I think he would have followed more on the religious activities had he married someone who was also interested in the Jewish community. But his wife was not at all interested in anything Jewish, and so most of his activities were with the non-Jewish organizations. But he, like his father, really has a real Jewish heart, and he is deeply, deeply down religious, but he has never had a chance to bring that out. So he devoted his time to, for instance, he's a board member of the Mayview Hospital. He's on the board of the Pittsburgh Child Guidance Center. He's on the board of the Greater Pittsburgh Guild for the Blind. He is a life trustee of the American Jewish Committee, and he's on the board of the Emma Kaufman Camp. He was a treasurer from 1957 to 59, I believe. He's also on the board of the American Technion Society. He has served on the board of the Rhoda Sholem Jr. Congregation and the United Mental Health Service of Allegheny County. He's very much interested in, been on the board of the League for Emotionally Disturbed Children of Allegheny, and he's on the board of the Allegheny County Citizens Commission for the Public Schools. He's on the United Fund Review Committee. He supports and is a member of many other community organizations, and he's a member and a chairman of various industrial and technical organizations in the paper and packaging industry. He received his B.S. degree from the University of Pennsylvania and is a graduate of Shadyside Academy. And he's very much.
He went to Wharton.
He went to Wharton School of Business, University of Pennsylvania. But he's very much interested in these organizations, and now just turning a little more towards the Jewish organizations, and I think will it's very much interesting in the American Jewish Committee and so forth.
Well, I think he follows. He's following in their footsteps. These are the organizations of today. Really.
Yes, right. Yes, these are important. Particularly, I think, more to younger people right now, that these are the things that they're interested in.
Yes, I think so.
How many children does Jimmy have?
He has four.
Four children. And they're grown?
They're 19, 22, 24, and 25. Three girls and a boy. The boy is names. The boy is Dan and Julie and Constance, Connie, and Kathy, Catherine.
I think
and
that's
they are, if I suppose, like all grandmothers, they are really very brilliant. My granddaughter Connie was noticed for sound. She was one of the most brilliant and outstanding students that ever went to Carnegie Mellon Institute.
Right.
It was a beautiful tribute that she got that here. But
about any more of them?
Exactly.
Well, they're all working for. My granddaughter Julie is She's getting her master's in dance therapy, and she is teaching dancing to disturbed children, which they have found that is a real therapy for them now. That is very helpful, and she's taking a course. She went to Goddard in Vermont, and now she's going to Boulder in Colorado, and she's very much interested in disturbed children, and she explained to me how the dancing has helped them very much, which I couldn't understand at first, but after her explanation, I realized. And my other daughter, granddaughter Catherine, goes to University of Pennsylvania, and she is also working on her master's degree.
It's a remarkable family.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful tape.
I think it was a beautiful tape.
It has been a great pleasure, and it's a wonderful family history.